once again talking with you, involving you, if you wanted to call in at 844-967-2789 about the significant problems with this memorandum issued 3 years ago, just about in the spring of 2019, suggesting that there was nothing in the Mueller report in the nature of obstruction of justice that would support a prosecution of the president. The premise, the theory, the advocacy this morning, not just from me, but from many other people have looked at this memorandum, that the memorandum itself rife with problems legally and factually. Right before the break, I expressed this concern that somehow the fact that some of these events happened in the public domain made a difference. They do not. That there was no precedent for this, according to the memorandum, also not true. An awful lot of precedent out there for prosecuting someone who is engaged in this kind of obstructive conduct. And then talking specifically about this notion that in order to prosecute anyone for an obstructive event, you need to have an underlying crime that has been known, been identified, perhaps even beyond a reasonable doubt. Again, simply a misstatement of the law, contrary to policy, contrary to practice, contrary to common sense. Another problem with the memorandum as it's set forth, as we've now received it this past week, discussion about how many of these events did not, in fact, result in anything specific, that they were attempts. They were attempts to engage in underlying obstructive acts, but they were not successful. The president directed other people to do things and explained that they should do things on his behalf. They didn't do them, and because they did not go forward or the events themselves did not result in obstruction, that is a reason for our change in the findings of the underlying case. That is a reason for finding that the obstruction did not happen. What is the problem with that? Once again, a misunderstanding of the law, fundamental law coming out of law school, criminal prosecution, that attempt in and of itself is a crime. You do not have to consummate, you don't have to achieve the crime itself, whatever that might be. And it is simply a misstatement of law in this memorandum by these folks in the Office of Special Counsel that in order for the former president to have been prosecuted, they had to have been successful in undermining the underlying investigation. Not true. An attempt is significant. An attempt is a crime in and of itself. And then there's also some additional language that is concerning. Discussion about how the president's conduct here was not motivated by any ill intent, by any malpurpose, but rather was simply the product of some political interest to avoid personal embarrassment, as the report says, personal embarrassment, public focus. And that if that is the case, that because of personal embarrassment and political concerns are the motivation for your engaging in conduct, there can be no prosecution for obstruction of justice. Once again, a fundamental misunderstanding, a conflation, if you will, of motive and intent. You can have many motives that could be well intended. Politics could be one of them. Avoiding personal embarrassment could be another. But you can still have the intent, therefore, to violate the law. That is a fundamental principle. First year, second year law school, prosecutors around the country know that well. The mere fact that there may be a motive premised upon politics, or as the memorandum says, the president concerned about the cloud on his nascent, his early administration time at that period of time, this is early 2017, that's his motive, and for that reason, the intent could not possibly support a prosecution for obstruction of justice. Today, I will offer to you, as I have with respect to these other points, that is simply a misstatement of law. And the assistant attorneys general, even as they are writing this memorandum, have to know it. They make reference during the course of this memorandum to something called the Principles of Federal Prosecution, which is this publicly available set of guidelines that provide policy and direction, all sorts of legal standards as well, about the bases, the reasons why prosecution is undertaken, and the practical approaches as you go forward and prosecute someone for violations of federal criminal law. It is fundamental in those principles that these notions about predicates, about attempt, about motive versus intent, all of those are implicit, if not explicit, in the very principles of federal prosecution that the authors of this memorandum invoke to support a finding that there is no basis to go ahead with a prosecution of the former president for obstruction of justice. Huge problems with this memorandum called to the attention of Americans generally in the past 3 days as this has broken loose. Beyond that, beyond the misstatements of law, lots of misstatements of fact as well. And Bob Mueller, as I indicated earlier, both in testimony to the United States Congress and in letters written to the Attorney General himself, contemporaneous with the Attorney General then coming around and saying, based upon my advice from the Office of Legal Counsel, I'm not doing anything with this. There's no predicate for prosecution. The other problem that Bob Mueller himself identified was a misstatement of fact. And indeed, the memorandum spends a lot of time talking about some of these specific events, including, for example, the president's directing Don McGahn at the time to author some made-up reports about whether or not the president had directed the firing of the FBI director, asking the Don McGahn to deny newspaper reports that the president had directed him to fire special counsel in particular, making up reports about those kinds of things. And because of the focus of that among 8 or 9 other instances, the authors of this memorandum, this internal document to the Attorney General at that time, find that indeed there was nothing wrong there, that the events as properly interpreted cast significant doubt on whether or not, as they say, the president actually sought to induce Don McGahn to lie. I have to believe that Bob Mueller today, if he's reading this memorandum, which he may or may not have seen previously, and recalling his investigation of the McGahn incident, among the many others, again, this attempt by the president to tell McGahn to author some memorandum indicating that the president had never, ever, ever directed the firing of the special counsel in this case. You have to believe that Bob Mueller today would look back on that and say, once again, a misstatement of fact as set forth in this memorandum, a misstatement about what the Mueller report, what the findings of the investigation actually said. And so once again, lots of things like that in this memorandum that are simply misstatements of what Bob Mueller intended. And they seize upon the notion that Bob Mueller himself, because he was prohibited from going ahead with this internal memorandum to make specific findings of guilt, that therefore they're going to make the choice. The Attorney General makes the determination that Bob Mueller does not. If you read through the second portion of that report, that Mueller report of now 3 years ago, you come to a very different conclusion. And I would offer that anyone who has done that, people on all sides of the political aisle who've done that, came to the conclusion that indeed, if you could have prosecuted a president, there would be a basis for doing it. Also a basis, for what it's worth, to impeach him at the time, a decision made by the United States Congress not to go ahead with any of that. There's a very interesting discussion in the course of this memorandum as well about flipping, about the president's public statements exhorting witnesses like Flynn and Manafort and Stone and Cohen not to flip, and that the suggestion was in Mueller's report that those should be viewed as obstruction of justice, that the report itself makes very clear that this was an attempt to intimidate witnesses, to try to get them to describe their engagements with the president in a way that is inconsistent with the facts and therefore also obstruction of justice. The memorandum released this past week goes in just the opposite direction and says once again that these public statements of the president were just defending himself. Says once again, the conclusion is buttressed by the absence of any real clear evidence that those witnesses had information that would prove the president had committed a crime. The president's public statement could be viewed as efforts to defend himself from public criticism related to the special counsel's investigation or to discourage the witnesses from making what the president believed might be false statements in exchange for a lesser sentence. Bob Mueller has got to look at that and say that is a complete miscodification of what I said. This notion of flipping was just the opposite. that he came to the conclusion that was one of a basis that in a nation, in a Department of Justice, where you would have the authority to prosecute a sitting president, that those events, attempts to subvert, to affect the testimony of people like Paul Manafort and Stone and Cohen and Flynn, Michael Flynn, others, were obstructive in nature and should have been addressed either in the political system, through the impeachment process, or through a criminal prosecution that could have been pursued absent that memorandum. In the end, the memorandum concludes this with this. The special counsel's thorough investigation did not establish that the president committed any underlying crime related to Russian interference. Once again, getting back to this fundamentally erroneous notion that you need to have an underlying crime to accomplish obstruction in the investigation of that crime. As noted, they went on to say, in every successful obstruction case cited in the report, the corrupt acts were undertaken to prevent the investigation and prosecution of a separate crime. The existence of such an offense is not a necessary element, they say, which is to their credit, but the absence of underlying guilt, no underlying guilt here, they say, is relevant and powerful evidence in assessing whether otherwise innocent actions were undertaken with a corrupt motive. Novel obstruction theories, they describe this as, no, just the opposite. In Bob Mueller's report, fundamental statements about the law and the facts undermined and discredited by nothing in this memorandum released this past week. We'll talk more about this in the second hour this morning on Morning Cannolis, and then we're going to move into the other big document released this past week, which is the affidavit in support of the Mar-a-Lago search and seizure. Join us in the second hour of Morning Cannolis, a review of these big stories coming out of Washington, D.C. just this past week.